Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Let's go! This is the Big E Sports Show.
On the SportsMap Radio Network, from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. The biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show, coming to you on Saturday mornings, 10 to 12 Eastern Time. We'd love to connect with you before we get underway. As always, live on Twitter, at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. It is a big weekend. One more round to go before the Super Bowl championship weekend. It is set. Four teams left, and we're so excited to have with us in studio to help us break it all down and set the stage. And that is my producer, Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter, at the Jack McCraw. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
Doing well, E. It's the AFC and NFC Championship games, and I'm super excited to see some awesome football this weekend.
Well, these are the four teams that are left, and so let's kick things off with the AFC Championship game. 6:30 kickoff, Eastern Time on CBS, the Bills and the Chiefs. How do you see this game playing out?
It all depends on what's going to happen with Patrick Mahomes. Now, he's still in concussion protocol, but he's practicing again. I got to say, I think he's going to play. But just think about it. One hit, and that could totally change the game. And also, he would had an apparent foot injury in that previous game against Cleveland, so how well is that foot going to be? If Patrick Mahomes is healthy, I see the Chiefs winning this game pretty handily, but with a limited Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be a back-and-forth game, and I would not be shocked if Buffalo pulls a miracle and goes to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so Andy Reid, as we talk about the Chiefs, is just two wins away from a Super Bowl repeat. But, you know, the expectations at the start of the season, we thought that the Chiefs would be, you know, one of these last teams standing. But the Bills, everyone's saying, hey, they could pull off the upset. I mean, what were your expectations for the Buffalo Bills at the start of the year?
I thought they were going to be better. I thought they made the playoffs last year and they lost to the Texans in overtime. But I thought Buffalo could compete with the Patriots, who I thought were going to win the AFC East at the beginning of the season, and I thought they could be a wild card team. They've blown my expectations away, and Josh Allen looks like he could be a perennial MVP candidate for years to come.
All right, let's move ahead and let's preview the NFC Championship game. And that's going to be the first game on tap on Sunday, 3:05 Eastern Time kickoff on Fox. The Buccaneers and the Packers. For the Packers, this is their second NFC Championship game in a row. What do we see here?
Ooh, this is a tough one because I can't discount Tom Brady for everything he's done. But Tampa team playing in Green Bay, I got to give the edge to the Packers, especially with that lethal combo of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Stick around. The conversation continues. Coming up next from CBS Sports and TNT, the great Kevin Harlan.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this championship weekend as we look forward to the NFC and AFC championship games. Our coverage continues. Also, in our next segment, we're going to hit the hardwood. We're going to talk some NBA news and notes. But first, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, Tom Brady, he is looking to become the fourth quarterback to lead two different teams to a Super Bowl. Will Brady's past playoff experience be the X factor against Green Bay? That's one of the storylines. And in the NBA, how about Kyrie? He rejoined the Nets earlier this week. So it's time for us to roll up our sleeves. We've got a lot to dive into. And so delighted to have back with us from CBS Sports and TNT, the great Kevin Harlan. Happy New Year, Kevin.
Same to you, Alyssa. You sound terrific as always. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to visiting with some pretty timely topics. The games tomorrow, big championship Sunday tomorrow in the NFL, and the ongoing story of the NBA, which never fails to to get us excited about the different storylines and the great individual performances. So wonderful to be on with you.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it is countdown to kickoff, so let's take a look at each of the final two games ahead of the Super Bowl and get your thoughts. So let's start with the NFC Championship game with the Buccaneers and the Packers. You will be on the call. It will showcase two veteran quarterbacks with Brady and Rodgers. So who has the edge in this matchup?
Hard to say. You know, they've met already this year in Tampa Bay, just slugged Green Bay all over the place in Florida, 38-10. Rodgers was sacked four times. He threw two very uncharacteristic interceptions, and the Packers just did not have what they had shown in the first 5 weeks of the season. So they meet in week six. They get, you know, clobbered down in Tampa. And then they kind of regrouped a little bit. They concentrated, the Packers did, on the running attack. I think Rodgers began to get the ball out quicker. They had to deal with the changing left tackle situation, which they have found and really gotten a great replacement with a veteran. And they're a much different team than when they met in the regular season in October down in Florida. So I think Tampa is different as well. The Buccaneers had a good 6-2 start, then lost 3 of 4, but now they've won 7 straight. They've won 2 road playoff games, and what I think has probably happened is over time, without the benefit of preseason games, without the benefit, Alyssa, of a structured preseason, that the new quarterback, Tom Brady, who had done it one way for 20 years with the Patriots, had to learn a completely different way to call games and play within a different structure. And it just took time to become what it is now. And what it is now is a team that has confidence in a running attack that is two-headed. They've got depth at wide receiver. They've got a good to very good offensive line. And they've had a defense which has been one of the best top 10 in pro football. They're really peaking at the same time, as is Green Bay. So I think this actually could be with, I think I'm in Green Bay right now, and the weather tomorrow is going to be cloudy. It'll be in the mid-20s. There is always a threat of snow, and that is going to be expected tomorrow. And it has all the makings of one of those classic playoff games with two Hall of Fame-bound quarterbacks that we may be reading about for years to come. I cannot wait to get the Lambo tomorrow and call it. And it's going to be, I think, a terrific, terrific ball game.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect with us. We are always live on Twitter. Perhaps you have a question for Kevin. Join us at E-Radio Sports Info. At eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. So you bet. I mean, the Buccaneers, they are rolling. In fact, they have won 6 straight dating back to mid-December. But what about Brady's playoff experience? I mean, how big of a factor will that be going up against a Green Bay? I mean, this is his 14th conference championship game.
Right, and Rodgers played in one last year. And Rodgers has played in a number of championship games in the NFC, but never at home. So this will be different for Aaron to host a NFC championship game, the first time in his career. And Brady brings in, the most gaudy quarterback statistics as a regular season quarterback and as a playoff quarterback the league has ever seen. It is going to be, I think, a well-played game. I don't think there'll be a lot of mistakes by either side. I think they have great confidence, both of them coming in. But Brady brings something that I think Rodgers, who is 5 years younger than Tom, 6 years younger than Tom, will be shooting for. There's no doubt that Rodgers sees himself in the same sentence as Tom Brady. But Brady has won 6 Super Bowls. Rodgers is 37 and knows that he needs to really get this trying to equal Brady thing off the ground and getting some legs. So beating Brady would be, you know, such a very apropos way of him to continue to put his name in that conversation for the, you know, all-time greats at that position. Statistically, he is. and he's got another 4 or 5 years left, but he doesn't have the rings that Tom has. Mm-hmm. He has one. So this is going to be a big challenge for Rodgers. But Brady certainly is the standard that everyone is shooting for. We saw Drew Brees try it last week, as we know. Alyssa fell woefully short with a lot of turnovers and very kind of uncharacteristic Drew Brees moments. So I think the game will be a lot different against the Packers. I think the Buccaneers know that. Weather will play a factor. The field is in good condition. I was just on it the other day. But certainly Brady knows he's got his hands full against probably an undervalued Green Bay defense, one that has gotten better and seen some nice improvements as the season has gone on.
Well, then I was going to ask you, I mean, what do you think will be the key for the Bucs to get past NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers and a team that has won 7 games in a row and 9 of its last 10?
I think that Brady is going to have, you know, kind of a typical playoff Brady game. No turnovers, couple touchdown passes. I don't know if he'll be going as long as he's gone through the air. That has been one thing that has been a little bit different than his days in New England. He's throwing the long ball much more, but he's got better receivers to throw to, quite honestly, and probably a better offensive line. And so he's got more at his disposal with the Buccaneers than he did with the Patriots. So Brady has got to make sure that he stays within, and I know he'll do this because that's just the way he's wired. He'll stay within the game plan. He'll make not conservative choices, but will not be afraid to take that chance. But his management of the game, I think, will be crucial. They could fall behind early, and it's going to be up to him to keep everything on track. A lot of these guys that are in that huddle have not had close to the experience that Brady has had. So he has set the standard. He has set the rhythm and the pace for that team. And when their backs are against the wall, they've got to rely on, you know, a guy like Brady and what he brings to the huddle, what he brings to the sideline, what he brings to the locker room, and trust in that process. It's gotten them to where they are right now because when they lost 3 or 4 in the middle of the season, there were a lot of question marks about Brady and what he could or couldn't do anymore and what the team was like. Was it built? Was it deep enough? Was it built the way that it should be around Brady? But they've proven all those things. Yes, it has. Now they just got to continue to rely on what got them to where they are. And for Green Bay, you know, I think Rodgers and the Packers, quite honestly, are playing the best of any NFL team right now, okay, even the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I think Green Bay is really the team to watch here. I think they're favored by a little bit in this game. And even with the great Brady on the other side, beating Green Bay would be a monumental achievement, I think, for the Buccaneers.
It is going to be a fascinating watch. We are breaking it all down, the Buccaneers and the Packers. 3:05 Eastern Time kickoff on Fox. Just one more quick follow-up question as we talk about Tom Brady. I mean, how impressive has he been in his first season in Tampa and a whole new system, a new coach?
Pretty impressive. I mean, there are not a lot of guys that after doing, you know, business one way for 20 years could pick up, go to a completely different system, new coach, new voice, new way of conducting the offense with new players around him without the benefit of off-season workouts, OTAs, all the things were done basically virtually. He didn't have the structure of a training camp. He didn't have the structure that he's had in the past and what he's used to. So the pandemic has thrown, obviously, every team into kind of a whirlwind, but especially a guy like Brady, who's looked upon as a savior and a guy that's supposed to make that team, you know, elite. Well, he has. It has just taken, you know, probably the length of the season to become what they were supposed to be. And in this world, we want things instantly. We want, you know, things answered quickly. We want things done immediately, promptly. And with Brady, they did begin 6-2, but it wasn't like you were just going to say they're worldly. At one time, they were the number one NFC team, for one, and then they lost the 3 or 4, like I said, a couple times, and that's when the questions began, and a lot of teams may have spiraled the other way. You got a 43-year-old quarterback. Was he really the answer? Could he operate in a different system? Had he lost something? Is that why the Patriots didn't make a all-out effort to keep Tom and keep him in New England? But he proved him wrong. He got things back, and I think that what happened was Bruce Arians, their head coach, an offensive-minded coach who calls the plays, and Brady found a nice middle ground. I don't know that it was Arians, perhaps, stressing what he could do, and Brady, you know, getting a little headstrong and stressing what he could do. But they met on even ground, and it's worked out.
Hey, you're listening to the voice of legendary broadcaster, the great Kevin Harlan is with us this morning on Sports Map Radio Network. And just a moment ago, you touched on talking about the Buccaneers and the Saints, two legendary quarterbacks with Tom Brady and Drew Brees in their duel. And, you know, Kevin, you, throughout the years, you've covered the biggest and the best as a broadcaster. And I just have to wonder, I mean, what was going through your mind watching that game? Because that very well may have been the last game for Drew Brees and just his legendary career.
Well, he's got the great statistical numbers that will make him number one all time. He's got more yards. I don't think it'll be shocking if anybody, you know, catches up with that. He's made, you know, such an incredible mark that may be unreachable. But then again, we're in a league that is pass happy now, and we've got these quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes up in Kansas City that is having an incredible start to his career, so perhaps he could catch him. But Brees played in the league a long time. I mean, he's 39 years old. He's accomplished a lot, and the Gunther, he's 41 years old. So he's accomplished a lot, and I think he feels that maybe his game has eroded a little bit. He was injured last year. We know he was injured this year. We just don't know how much more he's got left in the tank, and he probably knows it too, and probably feels, why not, you know, leave while I'm still, you know, not quite maybe at the top of my game, mm-hmm. but very, very close. And so I guess I thought that more than anything. It was kind of painful to watch, you know, the lack of distance on his throws, the interceptions, the turnovers, which are not a Brees, you know, mark on his career. That's something that he just doesn't do. But he did, and I just think that maybe the time has come. And he'll know if it's the right time, and he's got a coach that will lead him either direction. If he wants to come back, he'll be welcomed with open arms. And if he doesn't, you know, I think he'll feel satisfied with what he accomplished. He won a Super Bowl, and he'll have, you know, records that may never be broken as a quarterback, and he's won a Super Bowl. So, you know, that probably stands out the most. I think a lot of these guys have these great careers, Marino and Philip Rivers, who retired earlier this week, and you know, they never won. They never won a Super Bowl.
Right.
But Brees did, and that I'm sure to him probably means as much as anything.
Our AFC and NFC championship coverage continues with Kevin Harlan after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. One more round to go before the Super Bowl. We're going to continue that coverage with Kevin Harlan from CBS Sports and TNT. You know, we highlight Drew Brees and talking about Tom Brady, but how about that? We had a chance to witness that very special moment when the game was over, the guys had gotten cleaned up out of the locker room and they're on the field. And, you know, Drew and Tom, they're saying goodbye to each other and their families were all around. I mean, you could literally, I mean, it was almost tangible, just the love, the mutual respect for each other as competitors.
That probably was one of the most heartwarming things I've seen in the NFL, and I've been broadcasting in the league since 1982, and I've watched a lot of great things happen. Joe Montana coming from San Francisco to Kansas City, and
yeah.
Favre moving out of Green Bay and going to the Jets, then to the Vikings, and certainly Brady moving down to Tampa, and Peyton Manning going from the Colts to the Broncos. I mean, there have been some wonderful big-name moves in this league and moments in this league that, for whatever reason, you cherish. I remember Manning met with Ray Lewis after a game one time, and they were caught talking in the locker room, and Manning's young children at the time were at his side, and he and Ray Lewis were talking. I thought of all the great battles that Manning and Ray Lewis had over the years. So when I saw Brady, and the way it turns out is in the Superdome, the visiting team has to walk across the field to get to the buses.
Uh-huh.
You don't go around in another way or walk outside the locker room and then your bus is around the corner. You've got to walk to the other end of the stadium, and visiting teams always come into the Superdome and leave the Superdome by walking on the field to the exits. So I knew they would cross And sure enough, Breeze is out there for a long time with his family, and the two got together, and it was incredibly heartwarming.
And, of course, throwing that pass, that long pass to Drew Breeze's son. So I don't know if you heard at the end of the audio, but Tom Brady told Drew's son, now you be nice to your sister. So he's handing out parental advice, too, or daddy advice.
Yep, he sure is. And Tom has a daughter, a couple daughters, I believe.
Yes.
And certainly Drew has a big family, and both their fathers, and take that very seriously, and that's a big part of their lives. And Tom has three older sisters, and Tom was the baby of that family of four in California.
Okay.
And I remember Tom saying one time, in fact, he said it to my son, who was in a meeting many years ago, he said, and my son has, we've got three daughters, and Robert, our son, is our youngest. And he said, you know what, Robert, I've got three sisters too, and I'm the youngest, but right now all three sisters work for me. So Tom has an appreciation for brothers and sisters and their place in the family order, and so I'm sure that was said with a little tongue in cheek, but at the same time probably said, always be nice to your sister. I like the message. It was well taken.
For sure. Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Kevin Harlan, our very special guest, CBS Sports TNT. He's going to be on the call this week in the NFC Championship game. He has been so kind to join us at Sports Map Radio Network. Give us quickly just a hit on the other game, of course, the AFC Championship game, 6:30 kickoff on CBS, the Bills and the Chiefs. What are your expectations for this?
Well, a lot, you know, revolves around Mahomes' health, and it looks like he's going to play, and, you know, it was just kind of a staggered mark throughout the, you know, things can happen, and we have seen a lot of players scratched on Saturday. So here we are talking on Saturday, and something could happen later today. Could certainly happen tomorrow, but as of now, it looks like that's going to happen. The Chiefs have been playing it very close to the best, and even if they do give the thumbs up, it may not be the truth, and even if they give the thumbs down, that may not be the truth. I think they'll wait until kickoff to figure out what their quarterback can do physically, so we're 24 hours away, but nonetheless, I think they're going to play it close to the vest. So that being said, Mahomes is everything for the Chiefs. Their offense is predicated on what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Henne, the backup, can't do what Patrick Mahomes can do. It's a completely different play call sheet, which I'm sure they've got ready to go. And so that will be one of the big questions. How effective, how healthy is Patrick Mahomes? And then, you know, for Buffalo, they've got such great momentum. They're on a stage they have not been on and since 1989. They've been terrific. And their quarterback is in the MVP conversation. So Josh Allen has had a great year. They can run the ball, as we know. They've got strength on both sides of the ball. But so much depends on Mahomes, so it's hard really to comment on that game. He's the linchpin for what happens. If he can play like he can play, then I would say that Mahomes and the Chiefs are the team. But Buffalo will be a very scary opponent, and I think we'll give them a great game.
Let's quickly transition our final question for you. We got to hit on some NBA news and notes. You just covered the Pels and the Jazz. So kind of just overall, give us your summary. What have you seen so far in this first month of the NBA season? Some of those early takeaways. What have you learned?
Yeah, you know, Alyssa, it's going to be a season of load management and watching the minutes of the great players. It's a condensed year. There's not much of an off season. So they've really got to make sure that they watch the health of these individual players. So it's gonna be weird. We've had canceled games. We've had this weird Harden trade during the season. I just don't know that the dust has settled yet on what it's going to look like. And I think we're kind of going week to week, to be quite honest. I don't really have a feeling either way, except that Lakers are off to a great start. I think they lost the other night to Golden State.
Right.
But certainly the Durant, Harden, Kyrie Irving trifecta with Brooklyn bears watching, because it could change the way the East looks. And that's pretty significant when the best team in the league last year was Milwaukee with the reigning MVP, and everyone was picking Milwaukee again. And the Bucks think they strengthened themselves with the trade, and now they've got this mammoth, massive bit of challenge coming from Brooklyn. It's going to be a fascinating run down the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, the league's newest Big Three, and will they contend for a title? We'll just have to wait and see. The great Kevin Harlan has been with us this morning at Sports Map Radio Network, CBS Sports TNT, and of course my son Eli, your biggest fan, wanted to say hello. He loves you on NBA 2K. He's a big fan.
Well, thank you. Tell him thank you very much. Fun game to do. We're going to start NBA 2K22 here in the next couple weeks.
Sweet. Have a great call this weekend, and we'll talk again real soon. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Always a pleasure, Alyssa. Thank you so much. Take care.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from you on this Saturday, live on Twitter at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Well, as promised, it is time for some PGA news and notes, and the PGA Tour has left Hawaii. It hit the mainland for this week's American Express at PGA West in La Quinta, California. We're going to hit on some of the top storylines as that tournament is underway, and we've also got to take time to recap and relive Kevin Na's big win from the Sony Open last week. It's always a true pleasure to have back with us. That is former PGA Tour player and author, the great Larry Miller. Check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Good morning, Alyssa and everybody, listeners. Warming up a little bit. Get out there. It's golf time now.
Absolutely. So before we talk about the PGA and all the news and notes, we've got a lot to get into. Let's back up a moment. What happened to your Saints last weekend at the Superdome against the Buccaneers? So they finished the season 13-5, but I know you and your wife, Connie, you guys are very passionate about your Saints.
Yeah, we're still grieving over it. But, well, you know, we were up 20-13 in the third quarter, and Breeze completed a pass to Jared Cook. And he's running free past midfield. You know, we're going in for at least a field goal, maybe a touchdown. We're going to go up by 10 or maybe 14, and somebody punches the ball out of Cook's hands, and that's all Tom Brady needed, the GOAT. And so Tom Brady saw an opening, and he took advantage, but and they ended up winning the game. And Brady's amazing. But we really should have won that game. If that ball's not punched out, I think we win the game because all the momentum. You know, as we know, all sports is a real, it's a real game of momentum. And it can turn on a bad break or a good break or something like that or a great play. And that's what happened. The momentum turned and Brady took advantage of it.
As a result, the Saints finished the season 13-5. And, you know, you talk about Tom Brady. I mean, this was a game that featured two legendary Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And you just have to wonder, I mean, how much is left in the tank for Drew Brees? You know, perhaps this could have been the last game for him and his legendary career.
Well, I call Brady the big goat and Drew's the little goat because Brady's about 4 inches taller, maybe five. But
yeah.
No, you know, it came out yesterday that Drew Brees played the whole year with a torn rotator cuff. And then he fractured 11 ribs and had a punctured lung during the season. But he played the whole time with a torn rotator cuff in his throwing arm. And, you know, everybody wondered, you know, can he go deep anymore? And, you know, the verdict was no, you know, he's not throwing deep. He can't. Well, that's why. He couldn't throw the ball more than 30 yards with that arm. I question whether he should have played with that or not and given the ball to somebody else. But still, he brought him to the brink of making it to the NFC Championship game and just wasn't to be. But he's a warrior for sure to be able to play with that and through all that. And he's done so much for the city of New Orleans. He came right after Katrina, and he literally almost single-handedly resurrected the city's spirits. And they won a Super Bowl, and he was very, you know, he's given millions and millions of dollars to causes in the city. And if this is the end of his career, we're not sure it is. You know, we have a good friend who's a good friend of his, and she doesn't even know what he's going to do. I don't think he even knows yet what he's going to do, but if this is it, then it's too bad he had to go out that way. but you know, he's done so much for us, not only in the football, but for the city too.
You know, as we celebrate Drew Brees, what do you think has been the key to his longevity? I mean, what's the common denominator between someone like, you're talking about the GOAT, like Tom Brady, and someone like Drew Brees?
Well, they're very similar. You know, they do everything right, from nutrition to the work ethic. You know, every player that comes to the Saints for the first time and plays with Brees says that they've never seen anyone with a work ethic like he has. And he's very regimented with it, very ritualistic about it and religious about it. He never varies from his routine. He's got the warrior mentality. He's smart. And he's a fierce competitor, and Brady's exactly the same way. You know, I just found out that Brady drinks 30 glasses of water a day,
wow,
every day, because he knows that hydrating your body, your cells, your organs, your tissues all live in water, and you got to keep that environment going. And that's, you know, those two guys are really great guys to emulate for anybody in sports, in any sport. So I do call them the two goats, and hate to see him wind down, but Brady looks like he's still going pretty strong.
Absolutely. Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the ropes with former PGA pro and author, getting ready to talk about here in just a moment, the American Express Charity Challenge. Larry Miller is our very special guest. But let's step back to last week, the Sony Open, and Kevin Na. I absolutely love this guy. He wins his fifth PGA Tour title after claiming, as I said, the Sony Open in Hawaii, a one-shot victory, and just overall 21 under. What impresses you the most about his game and just that million-dollar smile he's got?
Well, he's a grinder for one thing, and you know, his victories have all come on shorter golf courses. I played behind him a couple of times out at PGA West, and he's a short hitter, you know, by tour standards. He's very short, but he's very accurate. You know, he's got that bulldog mentality. And you put him on a short golf course, and he's really good. And every one of his wins have come on the shorter courses, just like Wailea was last week. Wailea is one of the shortest, maybe easiest courses they play on the PGA Tour. And, you know, you're going to see 61s and 2s and 3s and all that, you know, all week long. And Kevin Na, he's short, but he's very, very accurate, and he can become a really hot putter at times. And so you put him on a short course and give him a hot putter that week, and he's going to be in contention for sure.
It was such a wonderful venue there in Hawaii, and Kevin Na just looked so comfortable. Just overall, I mean, you're talking about him being a short hitter. His game is based on accuracy and precision. You just had a feeling that this was going to be his week to win. I mean, what ultimately do you think was the key for him?
Well, he made some putts. Like I said, he's a streaky putter, you know, and he even on longer courses, when he has a good putting week, he's in the top 20 or something. But because he's so, you know, not only accurate, but he's consistently accurate. You know, it's one thing, but this guy goes around hitting, you know, almost all the fairways and most of the greens on a shorter course, like Wailea. But he's so good, you know, around the greens, and he, when he gets that putter going, that's when he's in contention. So, but you know, you don't look for him to do anything at a U.S. Open, you know, or even the Masters, 7,800 yards. They can play it that long, and they often do. But he's so consistent and so accurate that he puts himself, he wins a lot of money just mm-hmm. because of his accuracy. And so it's a trade-off. You know, some guys are, you get the long hitters on short courses, and they struggle a little bit because they have trouble keeping the ball in the fairway. But Kevin Na, you know, he's an interesting guy. You remember when he had the twitches back then a few years ago?
Yes.
And he couldn't even draw the club back. But he overcame that, got out of that slump, and he's back playing some great golf. Got a good golf swing.
For sure. You talk about just how his putter got hot, but also Kevin Na, when you watch his game, he really makes us appreciate the value of your tee shot and getting that ball in play.
That's right. It sets up the whole game. I've always felt, to me anyway, in my personal opinion, I think the driver to talk about the putter, I think the driver is the most important club in the bag. If you put yourself in the fairway all day long, two things are going to happen. You're going to have good lies all day. Not going to be in the high grass, maybe with the ball buried, you know, down in the grass. So you drive in the fairways, and you're going to have good lies all day, and it's stress free. You know, you don't have to hit trick shots and hit over trees and around trees. And so you give yourself an opportunity to get the ball, if not on the green, in a spot around the green where it's an easy up and down. That's another thing about hitting it in the fairway, is that it makes the approach shot so much easier, not just in terms of length, but in terms of where you can place your approach shot. You know, a lot of these guys hit 12, 13 greens around. They don't hit every green in regulation. But most of the time, they leave the ball in a place where they can get it up and down pretty easily and not get short-sided, you know, or buried in a bunker or up in a lip and to a short pin. So it's playing intelligently and hitting the ball accurately.
Well, and just overall, what a journey it's been for Kevin Na. He turned pro when he was only 17 years old. There's been a lot of pressure on him to win, and, you know, he looks so comfortable out there, and it's all come together. And he also credited his wife and his two children. I mean, he's very happy at home, and he said that it actually is showing on the course. That really does matter. Your home life matters. So let's move ahead, Larry, and now let's talk about one of the other biggest storylines this week, and that, of course, Tiger Woods announces he had his fifth back operation. So now we have to kind of wonder, what will 2021 look like? So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, he had a fragment of a disc that was pinching on a nerve, and I can relate to that. I had a disc that broke into several fragments 2 years ago and got up into the nerve canal, and it's completely debilitating. But he had one fragment that was pinching on a nerve. They went in and fixed it. It's called a microdiscectomy. And I'll tell you, in his case, it was just one thing, one fragment on one nerve. But anytime you go into the back like that, it's not a quick, real easy, quick rehab. So I think this is going to really derail the start of his season. And there's no telling when he's going to be, you know, not just able to swing the club fully, but do it in a way that he can be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just yet another, you know, yet another speed bump for Tiger, and they're adding up. And you know, like I said a couple weeks ago, I think this is going to be just about it. You know, I don't see him making yet another miraculous comeback like he did a year or so ago.
I heard someone say that
too many surgeries. Yeah, and the back is a sensitive thing, and it's not easy to come back from.
I heard someone say this week that his back probably looks like a dartboard. So he's had, you know, just all these different surgeries. So Tiger will actually, he'll miss the Farmers Insurance Open and the Genesis Invitational. But listen, Larry, I mean, good news that the fact that he had the procedure December 23rd, he is already hitting balls. You mentioned talking about your back surgery, and, you know, what was that process like for you as far as, you know, getting onto the road to recovery? I remember one time you had to call in, you just couldn't even do the show. You were in so much pain.
Yeah, well, mine was much more extensive, and I had several fragments up, way up in the all over the nerve canal, hitting nerves, and then the disc was, you know, bulging out. It was herniated. They had to go in and do a multiple microdiscectomy and then a laminectomy, and I was, you know, it was 6 months before I could take a full swing. He let me chip and putt after 3 months, and then another month I could hit some short irons, and then a couple more months, then I worked my way up to a full swing. But what I had was a lot more extensive. It was more like the fusion that he had, you know, which laid him up for what, almost a year.
Wow.
And granted, Tiger Woods is in, you know, better physical shape than about 99% of the population, and so, you know, he's going to come back quicker. But still, what he had in December, you know, he can come back from, you know, I would say that probably maybe in another month, he can really turn it loose. And then it's just a matter of getting, you know, his swing ready for competition. You know, it's one thing just to play and practice, and it's yet another to play tournament golf. It's like worlds apart. And so he's going to have to work himself back into that competitive mode with his golf swing. But, you know, a couple of months down the line, who knows, by April in the Masters, maybe he's fine, and maybe he's able to play. But I just don't think he can hold up over 72 holes of competition with all of his physical problems. I don't care how much you rehab, it takes a toll on you, especially all the surgeries he's had.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1 Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now we're going to go back inside the ropes with Larry Miller. So quickly, let's get your thoughts on this weekend's event that is already underway. And this year's field has a little bit of a different look, only two courses. Who perhaps might you have your eye on?
There are two types of development in players, of golf professionals. And one is what I call the shooting star, where they're just super right out of the gate. And they flame, you know, they burn brilliantly for a couple of years, 3 years. And then they fade away. And I'm really worried about Jordan Spieth, whether or not he's going to be one of those shooting stars that his time is over, you know, in the limelight, because every year we keep saying, is this the year he comes back? And he doesn't. And here we are again. And then there's the other type player who develops a little more slowly and gradually. And I think what I've seen historically is that those are the type of players that endure and have long, long successful careers on top. They tend to develop gradually and slowly up. And there's a couple of others that are in that boat too, like Victor Hovland, and there's a number of players. But
absolutely. Hey, we've been inside the ropes with former PGA pro author Larry Miller. Check out his website, LarryMillerGolf.com. You have a great weekend. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk next week. Thanks, Larry.
Okay, just trying to get over our grief about the Saints, but we'll
hang in there.
Next week I'll be cheerful again.
Of course, there's always next year. Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way. Hour 2, up next at Sports Map Radio Network.